Amen.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us.
Our present and closing meditation this evening will be on the vocation to the lay apostolate. The vocation to the lay apostolate. There is a closing annotation to the document of the lay apostolate by the Council. I first like to read the annotation. Says the Council, the laity to realize they have a vocation to the apostolate. Our Lord is calling them to join with Him in the extension of His kingdom throughout the world. This vocation is pressing and urgent. Given the conditions in human society in our day, moreover, the Lord is sending His lay followers into every town and any place where He Himself is to come. They are to do nothing less than cooperate with Jesus Christ in sharing the riches which He came into the world to confer on the human family. What are we being told? We are being told that the lay apostolate is nothing less than a vocation, a special call from Christ. But a vocation, by definition, always has a mission. In other words, the vocation comes from Christ, and that makes it a calling. But its purpose is a sending, and the Latin word for sending is missio. And those who were sent are therefore missionaries. That's what the lay apostolate is finally all about. It is the call which Christ is extending to the lay people in our day in order to send them on missions. And the Council sends to every town and every place where He Himself is to come. In other words, the goal of the apostolate is to bring Christ into places, into localities, into the minds and hearts of persons where Christ does not now dwell. So we ask ourselves some questions. Bible is to explain as well as I can, always with our Lord teaching us here in heaven. The same Jesus for the closing verses of Matthew's Gospel for the apostles. Go and proclaim the Gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe everything which I have commanded you. It is therefore Christ Himself who is both calling, that's the vocation, and sending, that's the mission. Let me be as specific as I can. Now, I'm not going to synthesize all we've been talking about for 3 days, but my one query is that by the grace of God, you will not only be inspired, we assume that, but that you will respond to this vocation. What is a vocation? To bring both Christ's truth and Christ Himself into the lives of people who have either abandoned Christ or have never known Him to begin with. First, to bring the mind of Christ, and that is by sharing with others the truth that we have received. For 3 days, we have been emphasizing the fact we never receive anything from God just for ourselves, and the attributes never. It is to be shared. And I'll make a strange statement. I sincerely believe that a widespread paganization, de-Christianization of our country is a large measure due to the slow, and use a stronger synonym, to the laziness. Laziness of will and blindness of mind of believing Catholics in not exercising their zeal in our nation. Hugh John Close in the Archdiocese of Chicago, in just about 1 year, 62 Catholic parishes without a reason. As a reason is the lack of zeal among Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago to share their faith with others. And the same sadly can be said of one major metropolis after another in our country. However, I just identified as one of the 5 principal needs. Principal challenges to our Catholic faith in the world today. To, as I said, defend the faith being so widely question and deny. And number five, I identify the real presence. When we speak of bringing Christ to the world today, it is not only the teaching of Christ, the truth revealed by Christ, it is Christ Himself. Christ in the Holy Eucharist. A bishop friend of mine wrote some time ago an article for the Priest magazine, and the whole outside cover was the picture of a closed Catholic church, and to dramatize what the bishop was writing. This Catholic church had chains padlocking the doors. And the title of his article was, "The Greatest Scandal in America Today is the Closed Catholic Churches." To be Jesus Christ. His teaching indeed, but Christ Himself. We have the vocation. I'm speaking to you, except for the thanks for being here. You're ordained from an indigenous. Most of you have received the sacraments, all of you, the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. And it is these two sacraments which the Council, in one document after another, stresses these are the two sacraments of the vocation to extend the kingdom of Christ open with special emphasis to the lay faithful. Why can we say, better, why must we say, that you have received the vocation? Yours Christ knew exactly whom He was calling to extend His kingdom. Just change BAD to BC in your birth date, and you get what I mean. God made sure we would be born in this age, the age of the greatest, deepest crisis in all the centuries of Christianity. Rome will not believe the full things. The cost is 8,000 priests leaving the active priesthood in our country since the Second Vatican Council. The world figures for priests leaving the priesthood again have never been release officially. Here it is. 26 years in working for the Holy See. The closest figure I can come up with, hear it and weep, is 100,000 priests. since the close of the Second Vatican Council. My own beloved Society of Jesus, he lost 14,000 members since 1965. For 7 years, I lived in the University of Detroit, still then owned by the Jesuits. We have lost the university, and half the Jesuit community was told to get out. And the residence where I live is now being taken over by the university, run by lay people, a lay corporation, to be used as office facilities for the university. Thank God I found asylum in the rectory across the street on one condition, that every month I would see at least for 2 weeks of each month the 6:30 morning masses and the parish church. This is not just a pious word, vocation. A vocation is a call of certain people. Not everyone gets the vocation. The call of certain people for a special need. And the need, as we've been saying, and the church keeps repeating, is urgent as never before in the history of Christianity. All of you, I say this with complete certitude, all of you have a vocation to be lay apostles in the world today. And my only prayer is that you will recognize your call and respond according to God's grace and to the limits of your generosity. We continue. It was the sacrament of baptism that first conferred on us the grace of our vocation. God from all eternity knew who would be conceived and born. Look, none of us, not a single one of us, had to come into existence. The only being that cannot not exist is God. All of us, as we theologically say, are contingent beings. Otherwise, translated, all of us are unnecessary beings. God brought us into existence, and just this, the most critical period in the history of Christianity, for a purpose. To know knowing of our own, he has given us the true faith. We can all be Hindus or Buddhists, or having spoken in synagogues, we can all be Jews. We are Christians, Catholics. Even the word that I am saying, I have noted in front of me, but how I've depended on Christ's words Do not wonder, do not worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will inspire you to say what those you are talking to need to hear. You are making this retreat and the person speaking to you, believe me, is a sinner. And whenever I talk to people, I tell them, and I mean it from the depths of my heart, I know of no one who is a greater sinner than myself. But even as Christ chose his 12 apostles, and of all people chose Peter, chose Simon, whom he said, "You are Peter, the one on which I will build my church." Not yet. Peter was not humble enough. And the first thing he must be absolutely convinced of, we're going to share the gospel with others and be Christ's apostles. He must be convinced that we ourselves are unworthy sinners. The last thing that Christ wants or needs is proud apostles. In fact, has a contradiction in terms. And that's why. That's a main reason why Christ allowed us to sin. And the more deeply we've sinned, I think I should make the next statement. Thank God. Because then you have grounds for demeaning yourself in your own eyes. Lord, and mean it. I am nothing. I am a helpless fool, a wandering idiot. All the credit for whatever you are doing through me is due to you and not me. Whatever else you do at the fruit of this retreat, in the name of our Lord, preserve and foster a deep, deep humility of heart. Never allow yourself to dwell, and I mean this, for one split second on, well, how smart I am, how brilliant, what a privilege the people have to be listening to me. You fool. Let's be sure. We ought to believe that we have a vocation to extend Christ's kingdom in the world in which we live. But you've got to make certain that we are, in our own eyes, but we are in reality, nothing. However, watch us. This is where Our Lady has so much to teach us. Now, Peter wants to hear Father Brown quote at least briefly Almighty and magnificent. We are richly gifted. We have many talents. The key to humility is not denying the gifts we've received. Natural gifts, and especially the supernatural gifts of God's grace. Well, the key to humility is to realize everything that I've got is a gift to be used as a gift. God has given us so much. Why? In order we might share what He's given to us with others. And our salvation depends on our generosity in sharing what we have received from God with others. For 25 years, and teaching my own Jesuits their theology, because there's one thing I kept stressing and repeating, in the name of God, remain humble. And the key to fostering humility is there are two keys. First, not just accepting, but welcoming humiliations in your life. Thank God for the humiliations. I think I should say this. Your husband. All of them, I know about women and all of us. Oh, what wonderful opportunities they provide their husbands. After your husband's over the years, you cannot love your wife unless you are ready and happy to be humiliated by her. Love humiliations. But secondly, never allow for 1 second, that's too long, a split second, never allow your mind to dwell on yourself. Never for a moment admire yourself. Whatever we have is a gift. Of course, as Our Lady did. Thank God for the gift. But keep telling yourself, it's a gift. Here I use the verb. God lends these gifts to us to be used according to His will. And what we quoted before, let me repeat. This vocation is pressing and urgent. Because of grace, souls are being lost. And notice the reason. The reason is the conditions in human society in our day. Nothing like it in the history of the world. More legalized abortions in 1 year in the world today, in all the previous centuries of human history put together. What effect she's permitted his life in our century, then I have to say it. In all the centuries of religious life put together. More detractions from the priests. More churches closed. More Catholic institutions shut down. The ones, numerous, flourishing county hospitals. The one, all the ones, crowded Catholic schools. When I was in the first grade, I'll never forget Sister Leonilla, my teacher. The first time I was spanked by a teacher was in the first grade, thanks to Sister Leonilla. There were so many students in the first grade, and the children are made for that capacity. Three students sitting in each chair. Believe you me, when the council speaks of the pressing and urgent conditions in human society in our day, and understatements. As some of you fathers know, with your own children, think of unbended knees if your children are still living, believing, and practicing their Catholic faith. All this is part of your calling, because that's what the Church calls it, the vocation. Never before, to the best of my knowledge, in papal history, has a document been issued by the Bishop of Rome, this one called Consecrated Life, issued this year by the present Holy Father. Principal intent was and is to promote and advance the consecrated life of those who have bound themselves to living the evangelical counsels. Watch it. Not just the precepts or the counsels. What are we saying? Only keeping the commandments of God, but as again the same Holy Father, the present Pope, brings out, remember the rich young man of the Gospels came to ask our Lord, Master, what must I do to be saved? And then, of course, Jesus gave him the answer that, well, to the question he asked, keep the commandments. The two verbs, must and commandment, go together. That's what a commandment is. It is that which God orders, commands, as a condition for salvation. Either we keep God's commandments, or we won't get to heaven. But remember, a young man, I won't say objective, but told Jesus, I appreciate you've told me to keep the commandments, but I've kept all of these from my youth. And then and what if he has changed the course of human history? What more is wanting to me? Another translation. What more can I do? And my sense, for the first time, as I've implied before, for the first time to the best of my knowledge, in papal history, as the Vicar of Christ declared, that Christ's answer to the rich young man is meant for every follower of Jesus Christ through the centuries. So I know the Church has correctly and wisely applied Christ's answer to the rich young man, to those who are called, as we say, to the consecrated life, to those who would then even find themselves under vow to a life of consecrated chastity, consecrated poverty, consecrated obedience. You know, the present Pope said, Christ's answer is intended for every true follower of Christ. And Christ began with a conditional phrase. If you wish to be perfect, another translation which I prefer, if you wish to go the whole way, then sell what you have, give the money to the poor, and then the important number, then come follow me. Don't tell him the laity. In a way, here we say it, it was not needed as urgently, as pressingly, as indispensably as in our day. Either there are any Catholics who are willing to sacrifice everything of force as husbands and fathers with families. You've got responsibility to your families. That's assumed. But as far as it is humanly possible, better. As far as with God's grace, you can devote yourselves following Christ the whole way. Following Christ means extending his kingdom to the world, beginning for the world in which you live. Exhortation. All that I wanted to stress and explain was vocation. The laity who are truly following Christ now have a vocation, and in the document consecrated life, never before has, as far as I know, a Bishop of Rome spoken of married people, husbands and wives, living a consecrated life, dedicating themselves to the extension of Christ's kingdom in today. How correctly the Pope speaks. Christ is world. However, we continue. Moreover, he is sending his lay followers into every town and every place where he himself is to come. Blessed is my now, I'm sure, 55 to as many audiences. Maybe, or I told you this in this retreat, that Bishop of Moscow, he wrote, calling it a Moscow, maybe from the United States, you name the cult, all kinds of weird religions, Oriental Russia, but where the Archbishop asked me, are the Catholics from America? Is the Catholic Church that dedicated my ideology to nothing less than cooperating with Jesus Christ in sharing the riches which he came into the world to confer on the human family. But, and this is the critical and painful adversity, but these riches all received in greater or less measure our share of talents, but we must have the generosity of heart, the zeal, and the readiness to share what Christ has given to us with others. Or, not rather, but how he wants you to be his apostle in our day. The need is gigantic. And to once more quote our Lord's words, first is immense, for the laborers are few. Pray, Christ says, pray to the Master of harvest that he will send laborers for Jesus. These days of the retreat we have been requesting the apostolate of the laity. We believe that you have so generously graced us for the knowledge of the faith we have, for the love of you, our Lord crucified. We beg you, open our hearts to share this riches with others, and never count the cost, because, dear Savior, it's not just our own salvation that depends on our apostolic zeal, as only in eternity we shall learn. Prosper souls will depend on how zealously we have shared these riches with others. Mary, Queen of Apostles, pray for us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, Reverend Corpse.